Requirements and Aesthetics by Neil Maiden. This semester, I am teaching a new module on design thinking to students on our new Masters in Innovation, Creativity and Leadership. One topic that our students were keen to discuss was aesthetics and its role in a creative design process. The discussion arose because I presented Dieter Rams' 10 Principles of Good Design. I admire these principles. I find them a succinct expression of good design practice based on a lifetime's work. Rams was chief of design at Braun, the German consumer products company, from the 1960s to 1995. I was inspired to include his principles by two visits in 2010 to a retrospective of his work at London's Design Museum. Rams designed a startling diverse range of products, from razors to hi-fi and shelving systems. One characteristic of his work that repeatedly struck me was its simple beauty, that less is more. The 10 principles of good design were writ large as visitors walked up to the exhibition space. According to Rams, good design should be innovative, make a product useful, aesthetic, make a product understandable, unobtrusive, honest, long-lasting, thorough down to the last detail, environmentally friendly, and be as little design as possible. In our design thinking module, with its focus on creativity and innovation, the students seem to consider the first two principles uncontroversial, even obvious. Creative design should be innovative, and it should be useful with respect to some business objectives or user tasks. But what got them talking was the third principle, that good design is aesthetic. The discussion was heated. It raised passions. Most students had a view. Of course good design is aesthetic, but how and why? Rams argued that the aesthetic quality of a product is integral to its usefulness because products used every day have an effect on people and their well-being. We explored this effect through design classics. For example, how users take pleasure from the aesthetic qualities of Apple products, or how motorists were excited by and proud of the unique features of their Citroën DS. But then, as the discussion continued, some questions started to be asked, again and again. What is aesthetics? And can we agree on a definition of it? As it turned out, agreeing on what aesthetic qualities are was difficult. Aesthetics is often referred to as appreciation of the beauty or taste of something. Most of us have disagreed with others over the beauty of a product, how tasteful it is, and the pleasure that you might get from using it. Such discussions add to the colour of life, but Rams himself was more precise. He said that aesthetics are a category or property of a designed object that have desirable, if unspecified, effects on their intended users. Effects such as how users feel or behave. This is where requirements come in. Most requirements people do not talk about the aesthetic qualities of a system or product. Mainstream human-computer interaction thinking has triumphed here. We discuss measurable facets of usability, such as the effort needed to learn to use the artifact, and the frequency of user errors that can be tolerated. Looking back, I can recall just one workshop that I was facilitating in which air traffic controllers expressed the desire for computer-generated air traffic control resolutions that were beautiful and elegant. But this episode was very much the exception in my life as an analyst. So I argue that aesthetics should be more prominent in requirements work. Rams says that the aesthetic quality of a product is integral to its usefulness because products used every day have an effect on people and their well-being. He's saying that aesthetics are not about being beautiful for the sake of being beautiful, but that aesthetics have an important effect on users and their interaction in it with a product. But what types of effects? Are these not the effects that we want the user to have? And what the users themselves want to experience? In other words, are these not the user requirements? The desired effects of a good aesthetic suggest different types of emotion requirements, such as pleasure, excitement, and pride. Although many domains do not support these requirements types, David Kalaly and his colleagues explored how emotion requirements can be satisfied through gaming software. So why don't we roll these emotion requirements types to the specification of requirements more widely? To requirements about taking pleasure from shopping online so that customers will come back, and about excitement from a sports application that enlivens the spectator experience. The good news is that guidance about how to do that is already out there. For example, the brand-driven innovation method from Abing and Van Gessel that I explored in an earlier issue of this column identifies carriers of meaning that users ascribe to products and systems. Examples of the carriers that map onto system requirements include sensorial aspects such as the product's color, shape, and texture, what it is made of, how it is constructed, and what physical properties it has. Carriers that map onto system requirements include how the user interacts with the system or product by handling it or testing it, and the meaning of the system or product that forms in the user's mind. I think that we requirements folk should use these different types of meaning carriers to explore emotional requirements on our products and systems. To get the ball rolling, let me demonstrate with a very personal example: the purchase a few years ago of our Barchetta sports car. We were looking for a new car that would be fun, different, unpretentious, but also a car with a soul. Without realizing it, we expressed our requirements as different meaning carriers. We wanted a car with stylish curves, and preferably racing red, the sensorial requirements. But we wanted to avoid bling, so it should be based on a standard chassis with regular parts and few gizmos, i.e. the physical requirements. Behavioural requirements included touring, roof down, with a pleasurable turn of speed, all of which would contribute to a car with a soul, its meaning to its owners. The car which even Top Gear's Jeremy Clarkson so recently bonded with. So try these meaning carriers out on your latest software product. Use them to explore the different emotional requirements that your stakeholders might have, and see how they change your other requirements.